Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion advised.
That was the last time I ever set foot in that house, and I don't have any plans to visit anytime soon. That incident was life-changing.
He never investigated or contacted authorities because he was too afraid of the potential consequences. I wasn't in that situation, but I'm dying to know what was in that cellar and solve this almost answered mystery.
From Killer Podcasts, true tales of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. This is Disturbed. Hello, and welcome back to the show. This week, we're bringing you four stories that will frighten and alarm. So sit back, listen closely, and dive into the horror. First, a story narrated by Megan Barilak from Reddit user StreetIce6604. My childhood haunt story.
When I was in second or third grade, in the mid-80s, my family moved us to a small town in Kentucky along the Ohio River. The house was very, very old and within walking distance of a cemetery. It was a fairly average-looking house with some quaint features, such as old-fashioned hand-turned doorbells. In the bedroom my sister and I shared, there was a trap door that led to the cellar. It blended seamlessly into the floor. You'd never know it was there. This cellar was not a normal root cellar. The walls were made of old stone mortared together, and the floors were coated with fine black dust. I remember my dad telling us it was coal dust from storing coal down there long ago. The walls were adorned with thick chains that had rusted out, with thick cuffs every few feet or so. There were several large round anchors with U-shaped rings with huge metal balls at the end. Imagine a giant septum piercing. We later learned that this is where captured runaway slaves were held. When we first moved into this house, little things would happen. We would come home and the shower would be running or the kitchen faucet would be on. There were four of us kids and we, of course, were blamed. The lights would flicker violently, almost like a strobe light. It being an old house, my dad figured it was an electrical issue, even though we never found what the issue was. We would come home from school and our toys would be dumped on the floor and our coloring books torn and crayons broken. We were punished for that as well. Then one night during dinner, we all heard an old-fashioned bell echoing through each room. Remember that old hand-turned doorbell I mentioned? Yep, that's where the ringing was coming from. The problem is this bell had long ago been painted over with many coats, and it was impossible to turn. My dad took pliers and a whole array of tools to remove that damn bell, but it would not budge. Things really started to escalate then. Almost every night at 3 a.m., the doorbell would start ringing. Home security cameras weren't a thing back then, so my dad would physically stay up all night outside to catch who was ringing the doorbell. Spoiler alert, no one was ever caught. Then we started hearing the chains. The doorbell would ring, and then we would hear those damn chains beating against the wall in the cellar. We were so scared that we begged our dad to move the dresser over the cellar door so nothing would get us. It got to the point where all four kids were sleeping together in a full-size waterbed. Weird things kept happening, items going missing, lights flickering, water running, finding the refrigerator door wide open, the works. My parents changed. They became violent towards us kids and accused us of being the cause of all the mischief. Then one early morning, it got crazy. My older sister would always get up early because back in the day, your hair had to be curled, teased, made as high as possible. You didn't do a good job unless you used a half can of Aquanet. Those who know, know. When my sister woke up one morning, she turned on the lamp to get ready and the light bulb exploded, which woke the rest of us up. The waterbed started to wave and shake so bad, it was hard to move or get off the bed. At the same time, the chains in the cellar were being slammed against the cellar walls and loud thumps could be heard on the wooden stairs. The cellar door shook so violently that the dresser toppled over. All four of us kids were screaming and freaking out. As my mom came running to us, the bedroom door slammed shut. My mom couldn't get in and we couldn't get out. All our toys came to life. I watched my light bright scurry across the floor like a mouse. My brother's remote control car was going nuts. Paper was swirling around. Books were being slammed against the walls. I just covered my ears, closed my eyes tight, and screamed for my mom. It was so loud. Then suddenly it just stopped. Our bedroom door flew open. We left the house that moment, still in our pajamas, and never looked back. That was the last time I ever set foot in that house, and I don't have any plans to visit anytime soon. That incident was life-changing. Since then, I've experienced other paranormal things throughout my life, but that house was hands down the most terrifying thing to happen to me.
Our next story is told by Catherine Restivo. When the world is new, everyone seems like a friend.
This is a story that pops up in my mind from time to time. I've only told it to a few people. It's certainly one of the scariest moments I've ever had, and I was only a child. When I was around 10 years old, my mom finally decided that it was time for her to get her driver's license. It wasn't going that well, though. When she began taking lessons, she was struggling a lot. Around that time, my dad decided that he wanted to do some practice with her, in addition to the official driving lessons with her instructor, just to make sure that she'd pass the upcoming test on her first try. My little brother and I were attending swimming lessons at this nearby college, and behind a forested area near the campus was this huge student parking area surrounded by trees. It was basically empty on the weekends, so my dad saw the opportunity to take my mom to get some practice in. My brother and I were too little to be by ourselves, so we would tag along, throwing a football around in the grass while they drove. One evening, we arrived to the parking lot a lot later than usual. It was getting into the evening by the time my parents began their practice. My little brother and I quickly got bored and got out of the car to throw the ball around. After we'd been playing for some time, my parents ended up driving around to the other end of the parking lot. They were about 1,000 feet away from my brother and me. Suddenly, this white Toyota pulled into the parking lot. We were playing right by the exit, so we were very far from my parents and close to this new vehicle. This car turned around and stopped on my right side, with the vehicle facing the exit. The driver rolled down his windows and introduced himself as Thomas. He was friendly, good-looking, and young. Maybe around 30, at least to my childish brain. Sitting in the passenger seat was a woman covering her face with a newspaper. All I could see was long blonde hair peeking out above the page. In the back seat was a baby sitting in a baby car seat. Thomas told us he was from the police and that we had to get in the car immediately as he had to talk to us. My brother actually took 2 steps toward the vehicle, but I stuck my arm in front of his chest. Something felt uneasy about all this. The woman was still covering her face at this point, not saying a word. The man raised his voice toward us, saying once again to get in the car or else he'd have to come out and get us. My brother and I were frozen in fear, and out of nowhere, the woman put down the newspaper, looked at us, and told us calmly, just to listen to the man. The woman was young and pretty and spoke to us like we were her kids. She looked like she wouldn't hurt a fly. And for some reason, that was what made me the most uncomfortable. I began screaming as loud as I could. What we hadn't seen at that point was that my dad was already running as fast as he could towards us, towards the opposite end of the car. The parking lot was long and twisty, so he must have thought it was faster to run after us than to get into the driver's seat. When my dad heard me scream, he started yelling as loud as he could. Hey, who the fuck are you? Get the fuck away from my children! As soon as the man heard my dad and realized my brother and I weren't alone, he threw his car into gear and took off as fast as he could. I could see his face morph from the stern look to fear and surprise as they took off. My dad was furious and told my brother and me to hurry back up to our car. He was so furious, and we drove around the neighborhood for an hour trying to find the car. He didn't even call the police. I guess he wanted to handle it himself. We never found out who those people were. But this whole experience changed how I saw the world as a little kid. People can be the most friendly-looking people in the world and still wish evil upon you or the ones you love. I'm not sure what these people would have done to us. I bet that guy's name wasn't Thomas either. I'm sure about one thing, though. They definitely weren't the police.
You're listening to Disturbed. We'll be right back.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
So if you're like me, you'll get your spooks from any source available. The real horrors we tell here on Disturbed, the look in my wife's eyes when I tell her we're eating Pizza Hut again for the fourth night in a row, and often from the latest and greatest horror movies coming out in theaters. If you've got a want for the haunt, we both know that you just can't beat that in-theater viewing experience. That's why we're recommending Regal Unlimited to our listeners. It just makes sense for the terror seeker in all of us. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself after just two visits. Any standard movie, anytime, no restrictions or blackouts. Now, when I'm possessed by the urge to see The Purge, I can satisfy that need as soon as the next one comes out. And trust me, there'll be a new one soon enough. And for those special events, 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. You even get discounts on snacks and sodas. A deal so good, it's grotesque. If you're planning to see two movies this month, Regal Unlimited is a must-have. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Be sure to use code DISTURBED during checkout for 10% off. We'll see you at the next horror show. Thanks. Welcome back to the podcast. Our next story is about when your premonitions aren't just feelings, they're visions. Narrated by Tara Ash.
So I have this cousin, Henry, who's 25. He's trans and has been living the male life since his mid-teens. He eventually got hormones and surgery in his early 20s. In his late childhood and preteens, while he was in a female body, he was sexually assaulted repeatedly by our relative, as was his sister and two more of my cousins. He's been getting help with his trauma, but he only keeps contact with safe family members like me. We're very close, and I love him as if he were my own sibling. Last night, I saw a vision of him in his pre-transitioned body as a little child staring at me. There were tears in his eyes, a stuffed animal in his arms, and it looked as if he had never come out of his shell. He was wearing a nightgown that he was forced to wear during the time of his abuse by our relative. I saw this, what I'm calling a ghost, while I was walking home around 9 p.m. I had cut across the yard of an old shut-down convent in my home city, and this version of him was staring at me from under a broken archway that led to the convent. I tried to approach, and I don't know why, because I know this couldn't have been him, but I just felt like I needed to help him. The closer I got, the more I started to feel dizzy and heavy at the same time. At this point, I started feeling like I was in danger too. I suddenly started to panic, feeling terrified. I stopped moving towards him and just froze. I felt eyes on me, but couldn't see anyone through my peripheral vision. I was too afraid to look away from him. A groundskeeper who regularly maintains the property and lives on the grounds flashed a bright light at me and called out to me. But everything was dull and muted. I couldn't understand what he said. It sounded muffled. I wasn't able to move or react until he got closer. He didn't ask what I was doing or why I was there. He just told me that it was dangerous at night and that I needed to go home. I tried to talk, to tell him what was there, but he shut me down, and my cousin vanished. He escorted me through the rest of the yard to the opposite side and lectured me about being out this late by myself. After I was off the property, I called my cousin to check on him, and he was fine. I haven't told him what I saw. I'm not even sure if it was that or if it really happened. I'm not a believer in the spiritual or paranormal, but this shook me. And I have no idea what happened. It made me feel crazy. I ended up seeing the groundskeeper the next day when I got off the city bus coming home from class. He was weed whacking along the stone wall near the road, so I decided it was a good time to thank him for the escort the other night. He didn't seem surprised to see me. He probably saw me often since I walked this way a lot. I thanked him all the same and introduced myself. He told me his name and explained that he figured I'd see him again. He stated that he knows that people cut through there all the time, but that it's not safe. The building, as beautiful as it is falling apart, and people who don't mean well are constantly sneaking onto the land to smoke or engage in other dubious activities. I decided to ask if he saw one of those people the night he saw me. He just stared at me. I tried to elaborate but felt stupid, so I just said I was tired that night and it was probably nothing. Then he told me that I wasn't the first person to have a strange experience here, and probably wouldn't be the last. He said he didn't see anyone that night, but he stayed out of the old convent's mother house for the most part unless he needed to make sure it was still locked up. He then shared some other experiences he had heard about. Some visitors thought they heard someone they knew calling to them from inside the building. A repairman who was recently conducting repairs on one of the windows thought he saw a nun inside watching him. Even though these weren't the same as my experience, they make me feel like I did see something and that my experience did happen. I plan to avoid cutting through this property in the future. It may take me some time to come to terms with whatever this was.
Our final story is narrated by Gregory James from r/truescarystories. Be honest, listeners. Would you investigate the hidden crawl space in a haunted house?
The eeriest story I know is an experience a former colleague of mine once told me. His name is Aaron, and since I no longer work with him, I'll just tell the story as well as I can remember it. Years ago, Aaron rented a semi-detached bungalow. He rented alone and only lived there briefly. He never said how long, but judging by his experience, I'd have been out like a shot too. The renting situation was sketchy. He said he only ever paid cash, and they came to his house every month to collect the rent. It was never the same person. There were a few different people who rotated the duty each month, and apparently, they all looked shifty and untrustworthy. He had no idea what his landlord looked like. All he had was a phone number for him. One of the things Aaron immediately noticed when he moved in was that it was insanely cold in the house. He said no matter what he did, how long he had the heating on, what time of year it was always freezing. It didn't take long for strange things to start happening. Aaron would see movement in his peripheral vision all the time. As he sat on the sofa in his living room, he would often see someone walk through the hallway past the living room. He saw this so vividly that he'd have to get up and look around to make sure no one had somehow gotten into the house. He'd see this figure walking past rooms all the time in different parts of the house. It never lingered or stayed still. Aaron described a terrible feeling of dread in the house that intensified or eased up at different times of the day. The timings weren't consistent, but he'd always feel an overwhelming sense of dread for no reason multiple times a day. He'd bring his friends around, and they'd mention it too. He even brought women back from nights out, and they'd say there was something not right about his house. On one occasion, a woman refused to stay the night because she felt so uneasy. Once, it was so intense, he had to call his friend to come and pick him up in the middle of the night because he couldn't stay in the house. He even ran out of the house holding his clothes and got dressed at the bottom of the driveway in the snow and pitch black darkness because he couldn't wait to leave. Aaron used to receive mail addressed to a man who no longer lived there. He contacted the landlord and they said it was the previous tenant and they didn't know where he'd gone. He just left one day without telling anyone he was going and they didn't have a forwarding address for him. It got even stranger when a member of this previous tenant's family turned up at Aaron's door asking where he was. Aaron explained how long he'd lived there and that he was told the last guy had moved on. Apparently, this guy's family hadn't seen or heard from him for months and no one knew where he was. The two scariest things happened towards the end of his tenancy there. The first thing was when Aaron accidentally forgot to withdraw his rent money to give to the goon who was going to collect it. The landlord would always text him saying someone would be along that day to collect the rent. It wasn't always on the same day each month. On this particular occasion, the goon showed up and Aaron said, "Sorry, man, I completely forgot to withdraw the cash. Can I give it to you tomorrow instead?" He'd tried ringing the landlord, but apparently his landlord was notorious for not answering his phone. The goon threatened him with, "Make sure you do, or you'll end up like the last one who lived here." Aaron didn't know what to make of that, but it sure sounded ominous. It all came to a head when he was speaking to his neighbor, whose bungalow joined onto his. Aaron had mentioned the former tenant who had basically vanished and asked his neighbor what he was like. The neighbor said he was a fairly quiet guy who kept to himself but would say hello if he saw you. He didn't know what had happened to him. He just stopped seeing him. Not long after that, he saw the landlord's goons removing a load of furniture. Then he saw Aaron moving in and assumed the guy had gone. This meant that the previous tenant must have left without taking any of his possessions. Aaron questioned this and the neighbor said, "Well, I thought it was odd, but I did hear them banging about and it sounded like it was coming from the cellar. So I assumed the furniture might have been stored down there and they were finally getting rid of it." Aaron was confused. He told his neighbor, "I don't have a cellar." The neighbor replied, "Yeah, you do. I have one and your house is the same as mine, just mirrored." He didn't make a big thing of it during the conversation, but Aaron definitely found it weird that he didn't know about the cellar. The neighbor told Aaron where his cellar door was kept, but Aaron said he was pretty sure there was nothing in that area of the house. Aaron went back into his house after the conversation with his neighbor and decided to search for the cellar. He went to the place where his neighbor said his was, and it was where the fridge was. The floor in the kitchen was linoleum, so Aaron managed to move the fridge and roll back the linoleum. Lo and behold, there was a trap door in the floorboards. It was at this point all the weirdness of the house flashed before his eyes and clicked into place into his brain. He had no evidence for any of his conclusions, but the explanation he gave fits. The landlord probably hadn't been getting his rent from the previous tenant, judging by the way the goon had threatened Aaron when he'd forgotten to withdraw the cash. The landlord was certainly a sketchy guy, maybe even a criminal since he always got paid in cash and all his goons were scary looking. Aaron thought the landlord got his guys to threaten the old tenant, and they probably went too far and ended up killing him. They then put his body down in the cellar and covered the hatch, not telling the next tenant about the cellar. The man's ghost was still haunting the house, maybe trying to tell someone his body was still there. Aaron contemplated opening the hatch, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. He recovered the hatch, put the fridge back, and immediately started making arrangements to leave. He moved out not long after, trying not to rouse suspicion from his landlord. He never investigated or contacted authorities because he was too afraid of the potential consequences. I wasn't in that situation, but I'm dying to know what was in that cellar and solve this almost answered mystery. I guess we'll never know.
Want more Disturbed? Check out our Patreon for member-exclusive content, early merch access, and other cool perks. I'm your host, Doug Bailey, and this has been Disturbed, a production of Killer Podcasts and part of the Evergreen Network. For more paranormal and true crime shows, visit killerpodcasts.com. Follow our social channels at Disturbed Podcast on Instagram or Disturbed_pod on Twitter. If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing and reviewing on your favorite listening platform. Share your own true horror story at DisturbedPodcast.com. Music by Epidemic Sound and by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Our producers are Noah Fouts and Elizabeth Flood. Our audio engineer is Nathan Corson. Executive producers Bridget Coyne and Gerardo Orlando. Until next time, stay safe out there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.